Welcome to the program. My name is Scott Fitzgerald. We're going to talk about addiction for a few minutes here. 23 million Americans struggle with drug or alcohol addiction in America. This exceeds the entire population of New York, which, as the fourth most populous state, has around 19.5 million. 46% of adults have said that a family member or friend has struggled with addiction. And as of January 2020, the Association of American Medical Colleges had over 2,000 physicians in addiction medicine, and there are over 23 million Americans who suffer from drug or alcohol addiction. And lastly, the overdose deaths are still rising. 2018 had over 67,000 deaths, and now the provisional data from the CDC estimate for 2021 is 107,622. To talk about addiction and to talk about a new organization that has come up to help with those afflicted with addiction is my guest, Matthew Hoy. He is the founder and president of the board of directors of Sobriety Sounds. Welcome.
Yeah, Scott, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. And I, first of all, let's let everybody know, what is Sobriety Sounds?
So we're a 501c3 exempt nonprofit. We aim to provide musical instruments, writing space, recording time, and then music classes for free to the addiction recovery community. That's what our mission is. Right now we're trying to kind of come into existence now that we have our exemption.
Right, so you guys are just starting out, and that's a lofty goal, but it's an important goal because, I mean, everybody knows musicians and drug use are they're synonymous.
Drugs, sex, and rock and roll, the first thing in that is drugs, yeah.
It's true. And I don't mean to laugh, but that is, and it's been so prolific in our society that it's almost, you know, it is almost like a joke. It's like sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And you don't realize drugs, hey, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it definitely can be. I remember there's a website, reflects National Overdose Day Awareness, which I believe is August 31st. Mm-hmm. So I was curious. I was like, oh, I wonder how many people, basically the point of the website is to allow people to post like a small memoriam to people that they've lost. So I went to the website and I was looking through all these, like, hey, my brother died of this and of an overdose, and this was some characteristics about him. I did a control search for the word music. And I remember just seeing all these hits pop up, and I was really kind of emotional because I, you know, once you start reading those, you're like, wow, someone really cared about this person who died.
Yeah.
And they would love music. That wasn't even searching for keywords like guitar or a specific instrument. Just the word music hit up, you know, had so many hits.
Yeah. And you're a musician. Tell me a little bit about your background in music.
Well, I'm a singer-songwriter, so I primarily play acoustic guitar, but I also play keyboard. When I do my recordings, I have to do everything. So I have to do all the drums, I have to do all the synth sounds. But basically I just write for catharsis. It's my way that I communicate my true feelings to people. Otherwise I just kind of keep it bottled up.
And I think that's true for a lot of musicians, a lot of creative people in general. I know I'm a creative person and I kind of have that same, you know, desire. It's more of like a need rather than something that I want to do. You know, it's like, you really want to play music? No, I have to play music. And that's what a lot of people experience. And so this organization that you've created is so vital because there are so many musicians that are in recovery. And if they want to stay in music, chances are they're going to rub elbows with people who are not in recovery and who are still living the lifestyle that they used to live, which can be, as we both know, can be very dangerous to their recovery and will, you know, cause a relapse. So is that really what the reasoning for creating this organization? I mean, what's the need for this organization is what I'm asking.
So you're absolutely right. So changing people, places, and things isn't always as cut and dry as it seems. Mm-hmm. But so specifically, I think that the impetus to the creation of this is when I was in really early recovery, I remember me and a buddy of mine would just hang out at Java's in Rochester, and as long as we could, and we'd spend all our money there. We'd hit up a 12-step meeting every now and again, but I specifically remember a day where there was no 12-step meeting at the time. We had no more money to spend on coffee. So me and him just drove around in his PT Cruiser, just keeping each other company, really just trying to stay sober. And it's that moment stuck with me because I wouldn't find out for all the times that we hung out together, I wouldn't find out until I was standing in line to kneel at his casket after he had died of an overdose. At that moment, I had found out that he played guitar, and it was because his parents had videos of him playing acoustic guitar in the funeral home. And I thought to myself, like how crazy it was that we didn't know that about each other.
Wow.
At the time, because usually it's one of the first things that pops up.
Sure.
But then on top of that, like if we would have known that quality about each other back in the day, where would we have gone to play music? So I was living at a halfway house at the time. I don't even think I had a guitar at the time because I had sold all my instruments in addiction. Mm-hmm. So I want people to be able to have a safe place to access instruments if they don't have them, to build skills on an instrument that they already know. But yeah, that was probably...
So that's basically where you came up with this idea, is that you were really struggling to stay sober and you needed a place. You had no place to play music. It's not like you can play, you know, at a halfway house. People are like, hey, quit that racket.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Also, like, I mean, my first year of sobriety was extremely difficult. Not only just because early sobriety is difficult inherently, mm-hmm. but I had massive writer's block for the first year. And, you know, since music is how I get catharsis and how I prefer to communicate my feelings, not being able to do that for the first year was awful. It was an awful feeling. And I thought I would never be able to write another song again, mm-hmm. Which was just made me feel even more depressed. After a year, luckily, I was able to, I slowly got my creativity back. But thinking that there might be other people out there who would feel the same way. I want them to know that just because you get sober doesn't mean that your creativity has to stop. But they need hopefully a supportive environment where they can build back that creativity.
Is that something that you want to offer with Sobriety Sounds when someone comes in, if they're experiencing writer's block, to be able to help them work their way through that?
I definitely want the organization, the actual, you know, place to be geared towards that. So whether they get that from collaborating with other people, mm-hmm. Or us making a laptop available so that they have quick access to YouTube to look up tutorials, or even if they just want to play it like a new instrument just to see how it feels.
Right.
But yeah, I really hope so, because it was really, really tough for me that first year. And if I would have had someone, you know, to say, hey, your creativity is going to come back, or even just to sit down with me and say, hey, let's just play for a little bit. That would have been cool.
There are no resources available in Rochester or elsewhere that even come close to this?
As far as this organization and making writing space and instruments accessible, no, there's nothing that does that. There are addiction recovery services in Rochester. Rochester's a big recovery city. The problem is that, you know, a lot of money and resources go into getting people into rehab, which is great. But all the relapses occur in the maintenance stage of recovery. That first year, the relapse rates are insanely high. I think I sent you some stats, like for opiate users, the chance of them relapsing in the first year is between 90 and 95%. For alcoholics, it can be upwards to 70, 80%. And for addiction as a whole, it's between 40 and 60%. Those are the statistics for the first year of recovery. And, you know, the amount of overdose deaths per year, which has doubled in the last 7 years. Most recently, they're thinking that for 2021, there's, I think it was around 106,000 people who died of an overdose, drug-related death. We should be getting better results for the amount of resources that like are currently available. We have to do something different. And we're hoping that by We're hoping that by, if we can lower relapse rates, we can then in turn lower fatal overdose rates, mm-hmm. hopefully.
And this is, I mean, I know from experience that music is not a cheap thing to do. you've got equipment, you've got music, you know, musical instruments, recording equipment, computers and peripherals and all that kind of stuff that goes with it. What's the plan for getting that money?
It's been really challenging. Yeah. So I've been through some tough stuff, but this has been uniquely challenging because, you know, in order for us to serve our mission, we need to have a space. Mm-hmm. But we can't have a space without money, and we can't have a space that's usable without equipment. So all these things are sort of contingent upon each other, and we're trying to make it happen. You know, it's got to all come together at this perfect time in unison. So we are planning on, you know, now we're in the fundraising stage. And on our website, which is sobrietysounds.org, we have a donate page. And on that donate page, it shows our list of inventory needs. So when I originally planned out Sobriety Sounds, I had done it what I wanted it to look like in a perfect world. So I had added like a whole acoustic room and a collaboration room, mm-hmm. and the whole main floor is like with a bunch of seats that people we could host classes, because there's people, you know, over 50 who love to play guitar but don't know how to change their guitar strings. We want to be able to bring that knowledge to people who need it. So the inventory list on our website is all the inventory that we would need at our full capacity. Right now, we are being realistic. We're going to need to start off smaller than what the original plan was, which means that we still need instruments. We need guitars, bass guitars, drum machines, beat machines for people who don't actually play, you know, an instrument. We want people to still be creative by making instrumentals, keyboards, all like the basic rock band instruments. Mm-hmm.
And people can donate these instruments to you if they have them just laying around their house?
They can, yeah. We have a storage unit. So if we can hold those instruments until we actually get a place, which we're, again, we have to get everything done kind of in unison at this perfect time. So, people can coordinate dropping off or we can pick up donations, tangible ones. Of course, money is helpful. You know, we have a donate link on our website. So as far as like why people in addiction recovery specifically need this resource compared to, you know, the general public as a whole, I want people to know that, you know, we're geared towards the addiction recovery community, but as long as you're not under the influence of drugs and alcohol, you're welcome to come utilize our space. So it's not like something that the general public can't access. We're just geared towards people in addiction recovery.
Do you have some things lined up in the near future that you're hoping to do to raise money and get the word out?
Yeah. So we really had some very generous people donate some live sound recording equipment. So we have plans with some recovery houses in Rochester. We want to host some events. We're going to try to do it like a few this summer. So like on our website, we host musicians in recovery. We have like a little bio about them. And we'd like to get some of the musicians in sobriety to play these live events to help us raise money.
So once again, I'm speaking with Matthew Hoy. He's the founder and president of the board of directors of Sobriety Sounds, and they are seeking musical instruments, recording gear, fiscal donations, ideas for where they can have a location. And if you have any ideas on how to help, you can reach out to Matthew at their website, sobrietysounds.org. You have a Facebook page as well?
We do. Yeah. It's facebook.com/sobrietysoundslikeus.
Okay. Sobriety Sounds Like Us. Matt, thanks a lot for coming in. I wish you all the best of luck.
Yeah. Scott, thank you so much.
My name is Scott Fitzgerald. Thanks for listening.